Today's podcast is brought to you by Howie's new book, Paperboy. To order today, go to HowieCarshow.com and click on store.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
We got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald and the Spectator.
Especially Grace, stand up.
Here's the millennial with the mic, Grace Curley.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. The judge is weighing whether Trump violated the gag order that was bestowed upon him after his social media posts about Judge Juan Merchan's daughter working for, I believe it's called Authentic Campaigns, and they fundraise for Democrats. And oftentimes the Democrats like Adam Schiff and Kamala Harris and Joe Biden are fundraising off of the fact that Trump is tied up in all these criminal cases. And so Trump felt that that was a conflict of interest, and he said that on social media. And naturally, that's not allowed. Everyone else is allowed free speech except for Trump. And actually, no, that's not even true. We're not all allowed free speech. It seems like right now in this country, the only time where the free speech movement is really gaining any traction is with the Jew haters on college campuses. They seem to be bringing back this old idea. They're bringing free speech back in vogue. And Carol Markowitz had a great point about this today. She said, of course there should be freedom of speech on campus, but there very much has not been. And it's sort of rich to start with Jew hatred as the foundation of that glorious new freedom. Yeah, it's a strange place to start. I want to talk about London Breed. I've got a funny story about the San Francisco mayor. And I also want to address the Harvey Weinstein news that broke today. But first, I have to play this sound cut that is so amusing. If you know anything about the mainstream media, then this should make you laugh. Because I love following the hypocrites at NBC, CNN, all these places. And Andrew Weissman was talking about the Trump hush money trial. Now, David Pecker is the former, I think he was like the former editor at the National Enquirer. And he's got all this scoop from years ago about Donald Trump and who he was sleeping with. I don't find it all that interesting, but maybe some people do. Maybe the people tuning into MSNBC are just chomping at the bit to hear more. So Andrew Weissman is talking about this, and you got to hear this line. This is Cut 12.
I thought what David Pecker said was truly shocking, and the only reason that I think we're maybe a little bit inured to what he had to say is because of Fox News and Dominion. If you step back, what he said was that a media outlet, even if it's considered maybe a down market media outlet, was in cahoots with one political candidate. That is what happens in Russia. That is not what is supposed to happen here. You may accuse, for instance, news outlets for having biases, but that is far different than having an explicit agreement with a candidate to only promote stories that help him, to squash stories that would hurt him, and to disseminate stories that are denigrating your political opponents.
Yeah, I think what you're really trying to say, Andrew Weissman, is typically Democrats are the ones working in cahoots with the media. You're not used to seeing it the other way around. This is something that if you followed, and I want to give an example here, because this idea of the media working in cahoots, I love that word. Word of the day, everyone, cahoots. Working in cahoots with a candidate has sent Andrew Weissman into a tailspin. He's never heard of anything like that. Well, let's go back in time a little bit, okay? Let's go back in time to 2020. When 51 ex-intelligence agents signed on to this letter saying that the Hunter Biden laptop had all the earmarks of Russian disinformation. They knew the laptop was real. They knew it was true. But they figured if they could say earmarks because they could go back and say, well, we never said it was Russian disinformation. We just said it had all the earmarks of Russian disinformation. It's a little bit of a caveat there. You know, they built it in. And so this letter comes out of all these intelligence agents signing on. And Joe Biden decides, oh, this is perfect. Like, now the intelligence agents, the deep state, have given me a get out of jail free card. They've given me a nice thing I can wave in the air during the debates, and I can say, no, 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 the Hunter stuff isn't real because this letter, look at the letter, look to the letter. And he did do that. He did that at a debate. And guess where that debate was on? It was hosted, at least, by Kristen Welker from NBC. NBC, MSNBC. Like, none of this is foreign to these networks. You've done this before. Donna Brazile, who worked at Fox, and she's worked at plenty of media outlets over the years, she gave the debate questions to Hillary Clinton when she was the DNC, the DNC interim chair. There's a long list of times where members of the mainstream media have gone above and beyond to try to either, and it's kind of twofold, to try to either help a Democrat, which they've, I mean, let's all face the facts here. They've sold their souls to the devil to try to help Joe Biden. There's no integrity left with these people. Any shred of shame that they had is now gone, because all they've done over the last few years is try so hard to boost up Joe Biden, to protect Joe Biden, to make Joe Biden into something he's clearly not if you have two eyeballs. They've embarrassed themselves, and he still treats them like dirt, which, that's the one thing I give Joe Biden a 10 out of 10 on. He gets an A plus from me on how he treats the media. But these people either A, try to sugarcoat and lie and protect Joe Biden and run cover for him, and they'll never call out his lies. They'll say, oh, he shaves the truth. Oh, he spins yarn. Oh, he does this, he does that. That's number one. Or B, they lie about the Republican and try to smear the Republican. So they're usually going with a two-pronged approach. It's don't say anything negative about the Democrats, which you could say is working in cahoots with them. And B, constantly run negative, fake news, Russia hoax, smear campaigns against the Republican. And when you have those two things working in tandem, it's going to probably be pretty effective. So I don't want to be lectured by a guy on MSNBC about how a media outlet was working in cahoots with a candidate. Can you imagine? I can't imagine it. In fact, I can imagine it because it's been happening quite frequently for the last 8 years. Think about all of the fake stories. How about NPR sending out an email to their readers? There's a reason we won't be covering the Hunter Biden laptop. How about the New York Post being censored on social media? How about, what was his name? Was it Ross? Brian Ross on ABC? That was fake news. He almost tanked the stock market. There's been so much fake news in an effort to either destroy Donald Trump, which is always the number one goal, or to prop up Joe Biden so that he can take down Donald Trump, that it would make your head spin. I don't even have time in this segment to go through all of it. But Andrew Weissman's going to act like he's really surprised. Candidates working in cahoots. All of the Democrat candidates have been working in cahoots with the mainstream media. You're literally one in the same. You're one giant arm of the liberal ideology. You all work together. There's no difference now. I read Politico, and it's literally like just PR for Joe Biden. I turn on Stephen Colbert on late night, and I don't turn it on, but I see it on my social media. He's just interviewing Janet Yellen, doing puff pieces with AOC. You're all working together. And if that wasn't bad enough that you're just putting out propaganda about your own candidates, then you make up lies about the candidates you don't like. So how is that not working in cahoots with Democrats? Riddle me that. 844-500-4242. I couldn't leave that one on the cutting room floor. I have another story for you, though, Jared, that I think you'll like. A couple weeks ago, we didn't talk about this, but it was a story that I read. I believe I read it for Howie. It was right after the Masters. It came out that Muriel Bowser, mayor of D.C., actually went to the Masters. And she went to Augusta, and I was kind of confused, and so were people in D.C. They weren't sure why this was a trip that she had to take. But she had her reasons for why
Jim Eagle
that had to be part of her work agenda was going to the Masters. I would also like to add in for Jared for future reference, I would like my work agenda. I would like my schedule to include a trip to the Masters. So that was one where it kind of left residents scratching their heads like, is DC really in that good a shape where you can afford to go to the Masters and leave us high and dry for a few days to watch people play golf? And now we have San Francisco Mayor London Breed slammed for visiting China in pursuit of pandas despite death spiral at home.
Was Tony Tone playing in China? Is that what's going on?
I had no other choice.
The original lineup with Mo Better Brown?
Do you know how rare it is that Tony Tone is all in the same room together in China and they invite me to go see them? Do I really have to explain that to you guys? No, so she was on a pursuit of pandas, which also add that to my list, Jared, for next year. These are all, you know, next year things. Pursuit of pandas.
Panda watch.
Masters. I would say Masters first, then pursuit of pandas, and then we'll go from there. It says, according to Breed's office, the mayor traveled to China for a week-long multi-city journey that included meeting with government, business, and airline officials. One of her goals was to bring back pandas to the San Francisco Zoo. My favorite quote is from this Assembly Republican leader, James Gallagher. This is what he said to Fox News Digital. If you asked 1,000 San Franciscans what the biggest problem facing the city is, not a single one of them would say that the zoo doesn't have pandas. Yeah, well, she has, again, it all comes down to priorities. You know, some people in San Francisco say, hey, there's human feces on the street. Hey, there's open drug markets. There's needles everywhere. Homelessness is on the rise. The crime is insane. The break-ins, the robberies. But London Breed, she says, we need a panda in this zoo. And that's what's going to solve all of this. You can't predict, Jared, what that will do, what the butterfly effect of bringing a panda to the zoo will do for everything else. You know?
I mean, you got to start, you know, if you want to feel better inside, you got to start looking better outside, I guess.
She thinks she actually explained it. She said that, she thinks it will, Mayor London Breed's decision. Prior to the trip, Breed told a local NBC station one of her goals was to bring back pandas, to create stronger relationships with Chinese officials, to boost tourism, and put San Francisco businesses on the radar. Best of luck. Best of luck with the pursuit of pandas. Listen up, everyone. You've waded through the cold temps in February and the rainy weather in March, and now the longer, warmer days of spring are ahead, and that's great news. But, you know, you want to put the windows down. You want to enjoy some of this fresh air. But with the fresh air comes the pollen, comes the pollutants, comes the sniffles, and then eventually the tissue box. The great thing about the Eden Pure Thunderstorm is that you can have the best of both worlds. You can open up the windows, you can enjoy the fresh air, but you can also keep the allergens and pollutants out because the Thunderstorm is going to purify the air. And I love the Thunderstorm 3-pack because you can have one in your office, in your car, in your home. Really, the possibilities are endless. They don't take up a lot of floor space. They don't take up any floor space, actually. You plug them into the wall. It's very small. It's like the size of a phone charger. You plug it into the wall and it's going to start working almost immediately. You'll notice that the air feels fresher, that you're not sniffling as much, that any odors, any smells in the air are just totally gone. It's the absence of smell. This is a really great device. And with the 3-pack, like I said, if you want to use a few in your house, you can also give one to a friend, which is great. The 3-pack special is a great deal. I want you guys to take advantage of this. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use code GRACE3. That's EdenPureDeals.com. Code GRACE and the number 3. Say hello to spring and goodbye to allergens and get the 3-pack today. Don't forget the code GRACE3. We were talking about Anchorman yesterday because Joe Biden had that Ron Burgundy moment. But wasn't there also something in Anchorman where they were on Panda Watch?
Yeah, the big story was Panda Watch.
Panda Watch. Yeah. I guess that's just London Breed. She's trying to... If she's successful, Jared... I might have to change my tune. If I find out that she was able to have the art of the deal in China and bring back a panda, then I might have to tip my hat to her. We'll be right back with more. Don't go anywhere.
They're taking back our pandas.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Panda Watch.
The mood is tense. I have been on some serious reports, but nothing quite like this. Ching King is inside right now. I tried to get an interview with him, but they said, nope, you can't do that. He's a live bear. He will literally rip your face off.
Yeah, the mayor of San Francisco, London Breed. And this is interesting, Jared, because remember recently Gavin Newsom rolled out the red carpet for Xi Jinping in San Francisco. He like cleared out the streets, cleaned everything up. It actually looked like a nice place to be for a few hours while Xi Jinping was in town. And then once he left, it was like, okay, everybody, back to business as usual. We don't care about this place. So, you know, continue to poop on the streets and put your needles wherever. Everything's back to normal again. But now we have London Breed, who seems to have similar priorities to Gavin Newsom. She's in China trying to get a panda for the San Francisco Zoo, which, I mean, I wouldn't be mad if that happened. I wouldn't be against it. I'm definitely not anti-panda. Don't get it twisted. I just, again, it makes me question the to-do list of these officials. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm 3-Pack Special. Everyone loves the Thunderstorm, and you can get yours. You can get your 3-Pack today. Take advantage. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use promo code GRACE3. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at GraceCurlyShow.com, is the hush money trial hurting or helping Trump?
I'm going to say that it's helping Trump. Number one, because the hush money trial, out of all of the trials, and they're all pretty weak in their, you know, respective ways, the hush money trial is seen by everyone, you know, legal scholars on both sides of the aisle as the worst of the cases, like the hardest one in the get Trump movement, the one that's probably not going to pay off. That's the number one reason. The number two reason is I don't think people are that interested in these scoops from David Pecker from the National Enquirer. I don't think it has the same impact it might have 10 years ago. And number three is because Trump is going all around New York. He's meeting with construction workers. He's meeting with people outside of a bodega in Harlem. He's connecting with New Yorkers in this deep blue Democratic state. And all at the same time, you've got Joe Biden, who's reading pause off the teleprompter. So, again, the juxtaposition of these two things, of these two images, I think is really strong and I think bodes well for Donald Trump.
83% of the audience now thinks it is helping. 17% believe it is hurting.
By the way, I saw this sound cut that Ilhan Omar thinks that history will be on the side of the anti-Israel protesters who are, you know, running away from the sprinklers and chanting, "We are Hamas." So that's her take. If you take your advice from Ilhan Omar about what history is going to say about you, then this is good news for you because she thinks everything's going to be good. I guess it really depends on who's writing the history books. Is it someone from MSNBC? You know, is it someone from CNN? Or is it someone, you know, normal? That's just the risk they're taking. Here's a big story getting a lot of attention today. Harvey Weinstein's New York rape conviction was overturned Thursday by New York State's highest court. In a 4-3 ruling, the New York State Court of Appeals found that a Manhattan judge erroneously allowed testimony from three women whose allegations weren't connected to the case. The trial judge, James Burke, also compounded that error by ruling that the former Hollywood producer, if he chose to testify, could be grilled on the witness stand about those allegations, as well as numerous allegations of misconduct that portrayed defendant in a highly prejudicial light. The court was looking to see whether allowing the other women to testify would be valuable for jurors to understand Weinstein's intent to carry out the crime, something Weinstein's lawyer said would unfairly prejudice the jury. Now, I should note here that while this is big news, and the fact that the appeals court doesn't think that this case was tried properly and that there was a lot of errors here, and that these three women should not have been allowed to testify against Weinstein because they weren't connected directly to the case, I should note that he will remain in prison because he was separately sentenced in February to 16 years in L.A., in an L.A. criminal case for raping an Italian model. So he's going to be spending 16 years in prison or, you know, 80% of that. Either way, so that this New York decision doesn't change that, but it's still, you know, headline news on this Thursday afternoon. All right, everybody. When we come back, we've got a really great interview with Jimmy Cummings, actor, screenwriter, starring in a new movie that's premiering in Boston today, coming out on May 10th. We'll have that for you on the other side.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. We are going to take a breather here from politics and talk to actor, writer, and producer and Boston native Jimmy Cummings. I'm so excited about this. For people who don't know, Jimmy wrote the screenplay for the movie Southie, and he's also very well known for playing Tommy Hayes in the Showtime series City on a Hill. But now he's back in Boston to promote Not Another Church Movie. Jimmy, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me, Grace. How are you today?
I'm awesome. I want to talk about Not Another Church Movie. It doesn't go nationwide until May 10th, but the Boston premiere is tonight, and it will be benefiting Journey Forward, which I know is an organization very close to your heart, means a lot to you. So two things. Tell us why people should check out this movie, and also I'd love for you to fill in the audience as to your connection with Journey Forward and the work they're doing there.
Dynamite. Well, let me tell you. The reason why people should see the movie, Not Another Church Movie, is because it's the cultural event of the year. You know, I've been in the movie business for a long time, and I got into the movies by going to the movies every single week and falling in love with the movies. As a kid growing up, you know, there were stories that I would go into and I would see them. And, you know, movies would make me laugh, whether it was I was seeing 48 Hours or Braveheart. You know, it didn't matter. I would be engaged. You know, if it was the movie Rocky, if it was the movie Grease. So I had read this movie, Not Another Church Movie, written by a gentleman named Johnny Mack. And, you know, I had met him at Jamie Foxx's house. And when I had read this movie, I thought, this is a very funny movie. And, you know, I said, this isn't the kind of movie that I think I would normally make, but it fits into those things I was talking about with the what movies were like when I would go to the movies. And Not Another Church Movie is a movie that if you want to laugh and you don't want to think about politics and you want to put that stuff aside for a little while, you can go into the nearest movie theater on May 10th and see Not Another Church Movie starring Jamie Foxx, Kevin Daniels, Vivica Fox, and Mickey Rourke, and you can laugh for 90 minutes. When's the last time you did that?
It's definitely been a while. Jimmy, both my parents are from South Boston, and you know, we can play Southie geography at another time, but I know that people from Boston are always very proud when one of their own makes it, especially in Hollywood or in the movies. I called my parents today and she said, you've got to ask Jimmy what it's like to come back home, because she knows that when you're from Southie, when you're from that area and you make it big, everybody knows you and everybody has a connection to you and everybody goes, oh, you know, I remember Jimmy when he was growing up. So when you come home, what is it like? How are you received? What do people want to know? And what's it like coming back home?
Well, I feel like it's like, you know, it's coming back to the garden, right? Like the garden, you know, the Boston Garden. It's actually the Boston Garden. That's where we're all from. So we're all from the Boston Garden. So I grew, you know, I was born in South Boston, and the thing about South Boston is that that's the greatest family I've ever known. My entire family is from South Boston. You know, I had 63 first cousins in Southie for a while. We all lived on the same street. You know, as we get older, I moved to Hyde Park, but this is the truth. You know, my family, we never left South Boston. I mean, we moved to Hyde Park. Then I went to New York City. Then I went on to Los Angeles. I never left Boston. My heart is here. It's always been here. I'm a Celtic fan from the beginning to the end. I've seen it all. I've seen that city grow. I've seen it change. I've seen it become what it is. You know, I'm proud to be from it. And I know what it means to go away and to come back and to be a champion and to live my dream. And as a kid, I would be told to live my dream, you know, and it was so incredibly hard to do that. But it's the support that I had growing up from my family and from my friends. I mean, my Aunt Judy from South Boston would tell me all the time it could be anything I ever wanted to be. And there were times when I didn't think it was going to happen. You know, I mean, when you talk about Journey Forward, I mean, that was a tragic scenario that turned out to an absolute beautiful situation. I mean, when I had made the movie Southie, you know, I had written movies and sold movies, and, you know, I felt like I was on my way, and my youngest brother broke his neck. And when he broke his neck, I mean, it doesn't matter how much success you have or anything you think you're ever going to have. When your youngest sibling is now paralyzed and told he's never going to feed himself again, you kind of forget about your dreams because you're living in a nightmare. And how do you fix that? Well, if I can make a movie, which people said was impossible, if I can make a movie about, you know, where I grew up, and, well, then, you know, my brother had a dream, which was to help people just like him. He was paralyzed. He couldn't feed himself. He found a place that helped him, but it was a science that was really unproven. And my brother became the guinea pig of that science. And, you know, he began to feed himself. He began to dress himself. And the one day he stood up on his 2 feet and he took 2 steps. And I was a lucky guy who got to be there with his brother to raise the money to create an organization that is now the number one organization in the world that's not affiliated to a hospital that helps people with spinal cord injuries. So, you know, I think my life is a story. I think Boston prepared me for my life. My mother raised 7 kids all by herself. And, you know, I stand proud and proud of my brothers, proud of what I do for a living, proud of my family, and so glad to come back to South Boston, so glad to come back to Boston, to New England, to bring back a movie that's going to unite the races. That's what I'm all about.
Absolutely. And you're right. It's such a beautiful organization and everyone should check it out. It's actually out of Canton. And the premiere tonight of Not Another Church Movie, Journey Forward, is a huge part of that premiere. Jimmy, I'm speaking with Jimmy Cummings, actor, screenwriter, producer. I wanted to ask you this, and you kind of just alluded to it, but you were ahead of the curve as far as tapping in to this fascination that people have with South Boston, with Boston in general. You wrote Southie, so that came out in 1999. You end up acting in City on a Hill, which started in 2019. But in between there, Jimmy, it kind of was this Boston movie boom. It became like its own category at the movies where people would go, oh, I want to go, did you see Gone Baby Gone? Did you see The Departed? Did you see The Town? It became its own genre. And so my first question on that is, do you have a favorite besides your own? Do you have one that you go back to if it's on TV and you keep watching it?
You know, I got to tell you, well, you know, Friends of Eddie Coyle is always there. But listen, it's hard for me between The Town and The Departed. It's really hard. I mean, I love The Town. Like, I love The Town for what Ben Affleck did with that movie. You know, I really didn't. It's so funny because then you look at The Departed, right? And it's got Mark Wahlberg and Matt Damon and, you know, Jack Nicholson. But Leonardo DiCaprio, man, he looks like he's, like, right from Boston. He sounds like he's from Boston. So, you know, I've not been disappointed by the movies that anyone's made in Boston. I mean, I was a part of The Fighter. I got the movie The Fighter made. You know, I called Mark Wahlberg up and told him that movie's available to him, and he went and he got that movie, you know. And, you know, that's brothers all working together, you know what I mean? Donnie Wahlberg, he showed up for the movie Southie, and because of him, that movie got made. I was great friends with the Wahlbergs, you know, and still am. And, you know, Ben Affleck has done, you know, Chuck McClain put me in City on a Hill, but if it wasn't for Ben Affleck, I wouldn't have been in that show. Like, it's if it wasn't for the Bostonians that come along, I don't even know where I'd be.
It's so funny that you say Leonardo DiCaprio, because my dad loves The Departed. He, you know, it's one of those movies, if it's on, he's going to watch it. And I remember when it came out, he said to me, you know, for what it's worth, there's a lot of guys from Boston in this movie, and Leo holds his own, or his accent is almost more believable than some of the guys from Boston, just because he doesn't really force it.
Listen, I love Matt Damon, right? But he forced his Boston accent on that one, right? He did. And I'll say it to him when I see him, because it's like, he's so great. And I think that's what's great about his character, though. Because if you think about his character in the movie, he's faking it the whole time.
Yes.
Like, the real salty dude is Leo, right? But yeah, I don't know how Leo did that. I mean, to look at that and to see that, and it is the subtleties of a salty kid. Like, it's the subtleties of, like, the confusion and the anger and all of that, you know? And to see all of that come out, and to see that come out in somebody who's not from there, who, you know, sure, he's friends with Markey and he knows those guys, but how do you take that on? I don't know. He did it.
Yeah, absolutely. Jimmy Cummings, I can tell you everybody in this area is very proud of you. I'm sure you know that. Everyone should check out this movie, Not Another Church Movie. As Jimmy said, if you want to laugh your butt off for a solid 90 minutes, this is what it's going to be. And it's premiering actually tonight in Dedham. Journey Forward, a great organization everyone should check out and donate to if you can. Jimmy Cummings, thank you very much, sir. We hope to talk to you soon.
Thank you so much for having me, and I look forward to that day.
Yeah, so everybody, we'll be back in just a little bit. I'm glad that Jimmy Cummings was able to toss in the Friends of Eddie Coyle. That was like a nod to Howie Carr, because we all know that's one of Howie's favorite movies as well. We'll be right back. We're going to talk to Howie about these protests that have taken over a lot of Ivy League campuses, and now it's even trickling to some non-Ivy Leaguers. Howie likes to keep saying that about Emerson. You know, Emerson's not... Not Harvard, but they managed to have 108 arrests at this encampment early this morning. Four Boston police officers injured, a lot of craziness. And as one of my callers pointed out, you've never seen people so proud of themselves. I think that's the part that stings. There's no shame anymore. You know, you're assaulting police officers, you're eating $17 packs of nuts, and you're sitting on sprinklers, and you just think you're doing God's work, yeoman's work. We'll be right back with more. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. This is the Grace Curley Show.
They don't want their tax dollars to be complacent. And for the member who said, you know, like, don't waste your parents' money, they don't want their parents' money to go in supporting a genocide that they oppose. And so I do believe that history is going to be on their side. And these members who think this is a political opportunity to turn the world against these people who are standing for a morally just, right cause are going to be looked at and mocked in history.
Yes, those of us who aren't chanting "We are Hamas," we are the ones who are going to feel foolish at the end of this. Ilhan Omar, representative from Minnesota, thinks history will be on the side of these anti-Israel protesters. Howie Carr is here to join me. Howie, history will be on their side. The sprinkler system at Harvard, however, will not be.
That's the best story of the day. I've switched my column three times out today, but I decided I had to go with the sprinklers.
I just love how they're sitting on buckets. I mean, I don't know. I'm not like a history student when it comes to protests that have taken over, but this one just seems very strange. They're like, they basically have craft services set up for these protesters. They have designated areas, and then they're all running around with buckets and sitting on sprinklers to stop their tents from getting wet.
You know, you didn't know this, Grace, but most of them haven't taken a bath since October 7th. It's their own personal protest. This was a crime against their humanity. This was our BO ourselves, as they say.
Well, you know what, Howie? Yesterday you were talking about how you were playing the cut, right, of Joe Biden, and he was describing how he has work boots, and we all know he's a real, he loves to mow.
He's
the lawn.
A union guy. Yeah, he's a union guy.
He wears the construction, the hard hat the wrong way, but that's okay. So he likes to mow the lawn, and I was thinking about this because you've owned several different properties. Sprinkler systems are already kind of finicky. You don't want to mess with those. You know, if you step on one the wrong way, it can be quite a pain. I got to imagine the groundskeeper at Harvard is looking at all these kids and going, these nuts, and saying to themselves, oh boy, this is going to be a pain.
No, that's one of my favorite parts about the story is, you know, they're so concerned about the pigs and the Zionist oppressors. But the people they really despise, the people who are lowest on the totem pole at Harvard and all these posh institutions are the staff. And it was the staff that brought them down, that destroyed their protest just by turning on the sprinkler. Unless, of course, it was Donald Trump.
Yeah, I'm more confused about whose team yellow. They said, like, bring in bring in the yellow team, the sprinklers are going off. Like, what capabilities does this team have?
It's like the charge of the Light Brigade. Half a league, half a league, half a league forward. Into the Harvard yard rode the yellow team. You know, the cops always yell, man down or officer down. What does the yellow team yell? Female presenting person down.
Bring a bucket. The sprinklers just won't stop. Yeah, and Howie, obviously here in
it's like the blitz, man. It's like what they did at that school in like Iowa or Idaho. What was it called? Dent State, man.
Howie, it's not just Harvard. Emerson had a giant protest, and 108 of the protesters were arrested. Something I've noticed, a strategy from the left now, from the far left people who go on the network news, is they're trying to basically use the excuse of, oh, some of those people, they're not students. They're people who just, you know, hopped in and glommed on to this protest. But today I read that Columbia is no longer letting people in on the protests who don't have some sort of, you know, pass or a credentialed way of getting into the school. Mm-hmm. So now I think that excuse doesn't really apply. This is the student body of Columbia, even if they want to pretend it's not.
Yes. These are the people who are as well-educated as KJP and Barack Obama. And we all know how incredibly erudite the Columbia University graduates are, just judging from those two alone.
Yeah, Robert Kraft today had a piece in the New York Post slamming the school and saying this is not the school I left, and really explaining why, not that he needed to, why he's not going to be writing checks anymore to Columbia University. Now, speaking of Columbia, did you see the story, Howie, in the New York Post? It's called the Columbia Protester Diet.
No, I haven't. I haven't seen
it. I want to read you a little bit of what they're eating, okay? The evening meal marked 1 week of the group's headline-making demonstration. The anti-Israel protesters had their choice of an array of nuts, including a $17 jar.
They are an array of nuts.
Of Good & Gather sea salt roasted mixed nuts. Sandwiches from Pret-a-Manger were neatly lined up on the table. A simple veggie sandwich would cost only $8, but those with any meat between the bread slices cost between $10 and $14.
I will have the gabagool.
They also had the famished freedom fighters were also treated to $15 Kind granola bars and $10 rotisserie chickens, as well as Trader Joe's peanut butter cups, croissants, muffins, and more, as well as Dunkin' Donuts coffee.
And Bud Lights. It's like for beverage. They had to have Bud Lights. Was Dylan Mulvaney there to give them support?
Howie, how does this compare to the craft services when you were on set with John Travolta? Is this better or worse?
Well, he had the best catering company in Hollywood on the set. He insisted on it. He was at the height of his screen power. So it was pretty good. But that, I mean, this is right up there.
$17 for a jar of nuts.
You know, WBUR. I mean, this is better than the eats they had until a couple of days ago, isn't it?
Yeah, and of course, we don't know the organization that's funding all these delicious treats, but I think the New York Post will get to the bottom of it. They seem to be pretty on top of this. Howie Carr is coming up next. He's got an excellent show planned. He's going to break down Sprinkler Gate for you a little bit more and so many other stories. So don't go anywhere. Howie Carr is coming up next.